just to make sure that we're all on the same page or trying to be on the same page. And we have some idea of where we're heading, so we don't have false expectations. So I'm going to speak about the Brahmacharya life in general and what we're trying to do here, the impediments which always exist in the material world, so forth, the agonies and the ecstasies. Oh, in the sixth canto, Shukadeva Goswami tells Krishna Maharaj, Tapasa Brahmacharya, austerity in human life and a real civilization begins with Brahmacharya life. Tapasa Brahmacharya. That means celibacy. Samena cha, domena cha. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses. Chagena, satya sochabhyam. Renunciation, truthfulness, cleanliness, and following what should be followed and avoiding what should be avoided. Your main enemy. So, amidst the horrible ocean of Kali Yuga, filled with all sorts of fierce creatures, we're trying to establish an island of Brahmacharya life. Actually, the whole of human civilization should be like this. The higher sections of society would always have their boys go through the Brahmacharya phase, and then when the person would reach 25 or so, they would decide they're going to continue with the Brihadvrata, the great vow of celibacy, or they would enter the Grihastha ashram. In either case, as Prabhupada writes in the first canto, in the Bhishma Dev section, the Brahmacharya ashram is the best training place for both the attached and the unattached. Those who are unattached, the Brahmacharya ashram consolidates them in a lifetime of detachment. And for those who are attached, i.e. those who are heading for the Grihastha ashram, the Brahmacharya life also, the Brahmacharya ashram gives them training so they can actually become spiritual grihasthas and not sensuous grihasthas. You can see right here in the introduction to the seventh canon. A grihastha is not meant to enjoy sex life without restriction. Indeed, the whole purpose of Vedic life is to become free from sexual indulgence. So you can see our basic disagreement with so-called civilization today. We're going in two different directions. All the ashrams are recognized for spiritual progress. And therefore, although the Grihastha ashram gives a kind of license for sex life for a certain time, it does not allow unrestricted sex life. Therefore, in Grihastha life, also there's no illicit sex. A grihastha should not accept a woman for sexual enjoyment. Wasting semen is also illicit sex. So, if indeed the whole purpose of Vedic life is to become free from sexual indulgence, the Brahmacharya ashram plays a key role. Of course, we're operating in the midst of Kali Yuga, in which most men have had shattered lives in terms of sense control before coming to Krishna consciousness. Shattered lives, if not physically, most certainly physically, but if not physically in rare cases, then mentally. You have to recognize that. There are a few cases of young men who have not indulge physically when they come to Krishna consciousness, but they should recognize their minds have been wasted by bombardment with constant messages of sense gratification. And therefore, because the subtle body is molded in that way, the gross body will follow that programming, unless some purification is there. So everyone is slaughtered these days. Now, we have to decide. Do we really want brahmachari life, or are we just adopting this ashram because, well, there's nothing better to do at the present moment? Do we understand fully what this lifestyle entails, and are we ready for that? So let's read Narada Muni speaking in the 7th canto, chapter 12, A Perfect Society, 4 Spiritual Classes. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanto Guru Hitam Acharan Dasavan Nicho Gurau Sujata Saurida. It's a good verse to memorize. Narada Muni said, a student, a brahmachari, should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at the Gurukula only for the benefit of the guru. Gurukula means the residence of the guru. So, this is the lifestyle that we're trying to establish here. And certainly you should be able to see the benefits, otherwise why would you go, can someone get my slippers? Otherwise why would you go on if you didn't see the benefits? If you don't see how Kali Yuga has wrecked your body and mind, and if you don't see the benefits of adopting a purposeful life of austerity, then you won't be able to last. So I just want to make sure that you all have consciously come to grips with this issue. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Gurohitam Acharan Dasavandicha Gurav Sujita Sarita. This lifestyle is an opportunity in which you can make a career out of sense control. Very special opportunity. Now let's look at the situation we have here specifically. From the material point of view, there's not too much diversion. Spiritually, there's so much wealth available, but from the material point of view, there's not too much diversion and like that. So you all have to decide, are you ready for that? The main activity is studying Prabhupada's books and distributing it. So you have to decide, is that enough to enrich you, or it's a bit too much for your mind? You need some other, some people are like that. It's all right. Different strokes for different folks. But there has to be the facility available for at least some persons who want to live a classic brahmachari life. It's not for everyone. So you have to understand the apparent disadvantages and the advantages. The disadvantage from the material point of view is, it's kind of like not too much variegatedness, not too much diversion, a lot of humble service. Mm. not much room for your own seeing. But then, from the spiritual point of view, there's unlimited wealth. If you really want to get into hearing and chanting about Krishna, reaching out to others, helping them, compassionate distribution, developing camaraderie, learning how to develop loving exchanges amongst devotees. And if you like often going to the holy dhams for rejuvenation. So you have to be aware of these things. Certainly in a temple there'd be much more room for you to, you know, just space out and kind of, you know, be in your own world. Whereas a brahmachari ashram, a proper brahmachari ashram, is very focused. Kind of all for one and one for all spirit, while allowing individual flexibility in terms of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's how you express your individuality. So it's kind of like an independent study program at school. You have to be responsible for yourself. And you have to be a bit self-motivated. As I explained before, this is not the program for, you know, pretty please, Prabhu. Come on, Prabhu, pretty please, with ice cream on top. Pretty please, you know. Come on, Prabhu. Do you really want to get it together? Do you really want to do this? Come on, Prabhu. It is not really the place for that. It takes a lot of energy. And if someone wants to be like that, they shouldn't be here. It doesn't mean they can't be a devotee, but, you know, there's different strokes for different folks. Yeah. This is apparently austere. There's no doubt about it. But the spiritual rewards are extraordinary, if you want to see that. I mean, I know what it's like. I did it for so many years. You know, going out there in any kind of weather, books, you know. Some, for a while you may not be doing much books, it looks very discouraging. I know what it's like. Then you come back and, you know, you've got your spot on the floor. You might be dreaming, oh, when will I have my own house? When will you have your own house? When you work for it and do your 9-to-5 job, you'll have your 9-to-5. It's not 9-to-5 anymore these days. A 40-hour work week, in case you haven't, that was long gone. But yes, you can have your house, but you have to work for it. That's all right. And then you have to deal with someone else's mind. Not only do you deal with your mind, but you have to deal with your queen's mind. So, yeah. That option is there. So, well, actually, my point is, one way or another, you're going to be doing austerity. You're smart enough to figure that out. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble. One way or another, you're going to be doing austerity. So, what kind of austerity is it going to be? You want the working world austerity? Or do you want the brahmachari austerity? You have to take your pick. But this human form of life is meant for austerity. Of course, if you have the karma and propensities to be a successful business person, this or that, and, you know, you'll be able to easily make a lot of money. And, all right. But otherwise, if you're not, that's right, it's kind of clear that your working life will be pretty austere. As another Coover could tell you all about the bank. That's austerity, isn't it? You know? Some of you, I think, haven't had a steady, normal job these days, so you don't know what the alternative is. That's why it's like a very good another Coover spent. That's why told him to stick it out in his job so he could get that lesson firmly. You got to get up one way or the other. You either get up and go out and distribute books, or get up and go to your job. You got to put up with people you don't like one way or another. Sometimes you don't like all the brahmacharis. Sometimes, you know, there's little personal disagreements. But what about when you go to your job? You can't control the people who are there. You know? You don't like your boss? Tough. You don't like the person who shares an office with you? Tough. Of course, Swayze, he's not a resident here, but he also had his working experience, right? It's austerity, right? You just got to get it going in the morning. You got to do what the boss says. You've got to, right? So it's, choose your style of austerity. Now, of course, some people can be Krishna conscious in working circumstance. But most are going to have to try, because most persons want to live with a woman, and so you've got to pay the price. That's all right. As we read here, all the ashrams are recognized for spiritual progress. And therefore, although the grihastha ashram is a kind of license for sex life for a certain time, it does not allow unrestricted sex life. So there, as a grihastha, you'll also have to fight that battle if you want to make spiritual advancement. Now you've got your Vedic queen with you, the feast is there. Gulabjamins and ladus and all the sugary delights. But then, in the early days of Krishna Consciousness Society, one devotee asked Prabhupada that. Like, well, what's the point, You marry and then you can't plunge into the feast. So what's the point of this? Prabhupada said, right. Exactly. But anyway, the fact is most people will go that route because, the male-female thing is a very powerful thing. And the mind is not peaceful for most people without that. So, my point is not to say this ashram is super, the other ashram is faulty. No, that's not the point at all. I'm just trying to say you have to realistically decide which way your life is going to go. If you're not comfortable as a brahmachari, then be an honest grihastha. But austerity is going to have to be there either way. That is my point. So if you're smart enough to figure that out, and you're able to be peaceful as a brahmachari, then so be it. Anyway, for some years, even some years as a brahmachari will make your household life, you decide to go that way, much more peaceful. You won't be dragged under. You'll have your bearings. You know what the standard is. And if you do get dragged under, you'll be able to bounce back because you remember, it is possible to live a life of sense control and austerity. So that's my point. I certainly don't expect that everyone in this room is going to be a lifelong brahmacharya. Let me just tell you straight out. But at the same time, the value is immense even for a few years of this kind of lifestyle. It's like Swayze. He said he'll give it 2 years. Recognizing that 2 years of brahmachari life after doing this lifestyle of working and also being Krishna conscious, he recognized 2 years of brahmachari life that would do him some good. Then he'll make his decision. That's fine. But he doesn't have any delusions that, the only austerity is practicing brahmachari life. He's worked, he knows, but it's like, you got to show up every morning. Can't tell the boss, I think we should all just do it this way. I've got an idea, and I think, no, you're a slave. So So austerity is going to be there. Now you have to choose. Choose your poison. So, I just want that you all are honestly aware of what the situation is. What you can look forward to. I don't want you to have any false hopes. So you should think with your mind, can I handle this? Don't kind of, you know, just be artificial about it. Or you can say, all right, for 2 years, I'll handle it. That's fine. It's like, sweetie, okay. That's also fine. But just be aware of what's going on and where you're heading and where you're at. That's all I'm saying. This is a situation in which you can make a lot of spiritual advancement. It's a situation in which you have to face reality. Like every morning, I know, when you pick up your book bag or whatever, head out the door, you got to face reality. Okay? You got to choose. And you can see your mind. He's coming back.
He's
kicking him up and letting him go. Yes. He's fearless. Every day I know it's a challenge for your mind. Gotta go out there. Yeah. Book distribution can dry. I know sometimes you get that feeling, how long can I go on like this day after day? But then you also know when you're out there, Lord Chaitanya shows you such sweetness. That's the nature of book distribution. It's like hot chutney. Too sweet to resist, but gets a bit hot sometimes for your mouth. It's like that. You never get used to it. That's the way it's going to be. You get to taste such sweetness, unparalleled sweetness. At the same time, yeah, it's hot. It's, yeah, sometimes it's tough keeping the chutney in your mouth. You know, it's just too much. 50 people in a row have turned me down. Yeah. Mind's freaking out. I can't do this. Look at the temperature out there. 2 degrees. Get me to go out there. How many days is it going to rain here? But then you have such a sweet exchange with someone, and Lord Chaitanya just shows you the sweetness, and you come back refreshed, and then you pick up the books, and the Prabhupada's books just nourish you, lavish you. So that's the experience I want you to have. I know it's a struggle, but that'll make men out of you. And you have to have some patience. I don't think any of you, you know, had the experience I did of going out on Sankirtan every day, 7 days a week for 2 years and doing back and nothing. I know what it's like. You can't judge what your future is going to be in terms of how Lord Chaitanya is going to use you. I know for a fact you can, you know, someone can be struggling on Sankirtan day after day, and then all of a sudden something else happens. So if you can hang in there, you'll see how Lord Chaitanya will use you. Maybe you'll be the kind of distributor who doesn't distribute so many books, but you'll meet a lot of people who become devotees. Or maybe you'll be the kind of distributor who distributes a lot of books, doesn't meet so many people. Or maybe you'll be both, but you'll see. Lord Chaitanya will use you if you just apply yourself. Or is your time just looking for who wants to be an instrument in the spreading of Krishna consciousness? So if you just go through your shakedown period, you know what a shakedown cruise is? You don't know that term. You've heard it before. Like when there's a new boat and a new crew for the boat, they first go on what's called a shakedown cruise, where they, you know, get all the iron all the kinks out of their system. You know, get to know the boat, the crew gets to know each other. So I've seen Lord Chaitanya likes to take devotees on a shakedown cruise. All right, who's who around here? Who's really serious? Yeah. And then, after a while, Lord Chaitanya makes it known this is how you should be used. This is the role on the ship you should play. That will definitely come. So I just want you to honestly be aware of the situation, whether you can actually choose this kind of lifestyle, you know, for a few years. I'm not asking for a lifelong commitment. I just say, are you able to do this for a few years and then reevaluate? So don't feel like peer pressure or whatever. You have to, has to come from your heart as an individual. And of course, the rewards of this kind of lifestyle are wonderful. The camaraderie you won't find anywhere else. Once you get used to each other and take a few shots of each other, then you calm down, and you know, the camaraderie based on Krishna Seva becomes very sweet. Also, to live in a building where there are no women, that is very rare, this Gandhi's thing. Very rare. I don't know if you've noticed the advantages for your mind. It makes a huge difference. Not every time you go up and down the hallway, someone's, you know, brushing by you, going the opposite way, you know, sorry, swishing by you, you know. Makes a big difference, you know. So you, it's up to you whether you see the advantages. So what do you think? Is it possible? Or is it too austere? Or what do you think?
Seems impossible.
What do you think? What do you think? Thank you. It's not too much.
No.
Stark life, just reading books, distributing them, and kirtan, and like that. No room for individual, you know, flourishing in terms of, you know, spacing out in different directions. And what do you think? And you?
Yeah.
I just want you to be aware. This is what the program is. I know it's difficult sometimes, but if you had any experience in the material world, isn't it difficult sometimes? You didn't have much working experience, did you? Doing what?
I have a number of transfers. Gardening. Gardening. Working. Did a bit of gardening.
Gardening.
Working in kitchens. And ships, boats.
What's that?
And boats.
Boats.
Yeah.
Boats that sail the sea?
Fishing boats.
Fishing boats.
Yeah.
As a chef on a fishing boat? So, was it all nectar?
Yeah.
Could you be creative and do whatever you liked? Well, you just surrendered to it. Why? Because you wanted the money, right? How long would you go out on the fishing boats for?
About 6 weeks.
6 weeks. You worked a bit before?
I worked a lot. Mm-hmm.
As what?
Machinery work.
In factories?
Even machinery cranes and...
heavy equipment operator.
Yeah, heavy equipment and stuff like that. And a lot of work in Australia with rigging, climbing around steel structures and buildings.
So? Is that always a joy? Could you make your own hours?
No.
Could you do whatever you wanted?
No.
Could you choose who you worked with?
Not exactly, no. Yeah.
If the weather wasn't to your liking, could you just stay home?
If it got over 37 degrees, it'd be the same time.
37 degrees. What about you?
I tried to find maybe in many different fields of work. Yeah.
But did you work?
Yeah, insurance, courier, retail, computing, and so many different things actually. Yeah.
So were you fulfilled?
No. No, it was hellish.
Could you do whatever you wanted?
Certainly not.
Of course, Vancouver, he had his bank experience. What about you, Caleb?
Yeah, I had a 5-year full-time job.
It was a t-shirt printer.
Yeah, fabric printer.
Yeah, fabric printer. So were you creative?
A little.
Could you make your own hours?
No.
Could you do whatever you like? What about you?
There's a baker for 8 months.
A baker for 8 months.
Some delivery work.
Huh?
Yeah, so some sales work and driving.
For 8 months.
That was just the baker and another part of the year ago. Sales work and it's part time.
So I guess you're the one with the least worst experience. Then you stumble on Crystal Cows and say, wow, this is it, no work, huh? Take off to India whenever you want, wander here and there, you know, hang out in the ashram and, you know, talk the talk. You thought this was great, huh? Well, I guess Krishna tricked you.
I knew I was not comfortable.
Huh? What's that?
I knew what was all I was up for.
So that's the point. Everyone should know what you're up for, and I don't want any delusions. I'm not promising you rose gardens. Of course, if you dedicate yourself to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya promises you you go back to Godhead. And even in this life, you taste such nectar that it's impossible for an ordinary person to taste. Just see. You've got no reason not to chant nicely every morning. You've got no distractions. You've got, you know, what a luxury. Can you imagine what it's like, you know? Generally, most grihasthas, they have to battle, you know. I can't chant them all in the morning. I've got to chant lunch hour at work, chant evening when I get back. And the wife is, you know, and then this little baby screaming, and you know, I was like, you know, here you've got nothing else to do except focus on chanting. You can really get into the holy name. You can read so much. Really get into Prabhupada's books. simple life. So, I just want to make sure that you all are fully cognizant of what you're biting into. Alright. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. So in terms of some practical things, yes, this are things we have to sort out on another level beyond you all. The Sankirtan situation that's being addressed now. It's obvious. We need a bigger Sankirtan area. I didn't know before we came here that half of England had been ceded to Scotland. Nor did I know that, you know, Manchester had got kind of scorched. So the council's a bit ornery. So anyway, that's being worked out on a little level. Actually, no one knew. No one knew about these things. Radha Raman, he didn't know. The national coordinator, you know. His deal was made some years ago. And anyway, no one was caring what happened outside of London because there was nothing going on there. And now it's all come to light. So we're addressing that point. We'll see what happens. I made it clear, well, something's got to give. This can't go on like this. Either we have to scale down our operation based on the circumstances we have, or you know, something, you know, something's got to give. I'm sure more and more devotees are going to be wanting to come here. Radha Raman is talking about coming here. He says he'll be visiting after I leave at the end of the month. We'll be able to make it before then. So when he comes, please treat him like senior Vaishnava and want him to feel comfortable. Make his stay very comfortable here. Assistant. He's recovering from health, so yeah. Give him a hand for his chores like that. Give him the Vaishnava hospitality. Senior. Relatively senior to you, devotee. As far as Sankirtan techniques, my philosophy is whatever works. If you can distribute without a board, fine, but you have to be honest. If using a board makes your day productive for Krishna service, use the board. Of course, we also have the problem that if you have a peddler's license, you're not supposed to use a board. This, that, and that. That's something else. But whatever works. My only contention was I don't want devotees artificially restricted to a board. I never said you can't use a board. There's no, what's the use in sticking out your chest? I'm doing straight book distribution, and you come back, you know, practically doing nothing every day. It's not very pragmatic or practical. At the same time, if you know, I do want it to be known that if it's possible for you to do without the board, if you can show you can do without it, then okay, all good. So it's open ended like that. For example, if Simon here does very well with the board and does lousy without it, then use the board. And, yeah, maybe after a few years you'll be ready for another style, but we're trying to serve Krishna. And if from time to time it's necessary for you to do a weekend somewhere just doing small books in order to maintain the preaching operation. That's all right, too. It's not like you're out, you know, giving stickers or the bucket at streetlight, you know. So for a few days, you go somewhere and you just distribute small books, you know, in order to support the preaching operation. That's no problem. Anyone here have a problem with that? Or would you rather have some stickers?
Well, we've already got a few stickers as well.
Give you a bucket, send you out some lights, yeah?
I'll pass on that.
All right. Also, you have facility to take care of your health. It's another bonus you have here. You have that flexibility. I noticed these in this current period of human so-called civilization, men aren't as strong as they used to be due to so much sinful life as teenagers. They abuse their bodies so much. So you have to put a bit more time into maintaining your bodies. It's not like 30 years ago. 30 years ago, someone would come to Krishna consciousness. Basically, maybe after a couple of years of, you know, wildness. Yeah, generally they would, you know, they'd be good until they were 18, and then between 18 and 20, they'd, you know, get a bit wild, and then just drop it at the age of 20, become Krishna conscious. And nowadays that wildness starts at 12. So people come to Krishna consciousness. If they come in their 20s, they've been basically wasted for 10 years. So that has an effect on the body and the mind. There you have it. You have your program for it. If you want to get into the Shastra, here's the best place. If you want to get into the holy name, you've got the best chance. If you want to take care of your health, you've got the best chance. To eat a nice diet, everything is there. And you have a chance to build real camaraderie. I'm sure after a while you'll all get used to each other, right? And then my hope is that as the Sankirtan starts to stabilize, that you'll be able to go to India regularly. Certainly every other year, but the goal will be every year. Certainly every other year. That has to be factored in. Of course, Caleb, if you're starting a bit in your arrears, you know. You know, you're collecting for your trip after. But anyway, we hope to so we'll be certainly every other year. But our goal is every year. So that's another decision you have to decide on, how much you want comfortable living arrangements as opposed to going to India regularly. It has to be a practical balance. You want a huge house, everyone has their own room. And don't worry about going to India. Right, any questions?
With trips to India, Maharaj, is it just like the financial things? If we make sure the finances are stable, would we all...
That's all it's about, that's
yeah?
all.
Okay,
no so other reason.
So we do a few missions, like... If need be.
First, we may need to do a few missions just to stabilize the basic situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that possibility's there. You have to be able to maintain the basic operation. It doesn't cost that much to go to India from London. Probably more expensive in India. But just to get from here to India is not that expensive.
Would you, you know, when it came to it, would you like half the devotees going at once, or would you like all of them? I mean, all of them would be sensible because they would be like reaching that thing, which is the main focus, right?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to. Of course, we have to get stabilized. I definitely do see it as a main part of the program here. Yeah? Being a brahmachari in a tough part of the world, Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, like that. And it was austere part of the world, bleak. But, yeah, just got to go to India every year. You know, that was the, yeah. That was the relief.
On Sankirtan, I find is the mind can get dragged away sometimes.
By what?
Well, all sorts of things. I can do a variety of things, maybe some feelings with the bodies or something like that that you're thinking about that you weren't sure was quite right, or can be all sorts of things, but the mind. Get dragged away very quickly and dragged away from the service that you're trying to perform. And personally, I find it can take some time to bring that back. You know, it's like a whole internal thing goes on. And, you know.
But isn't it wonderful that you're trying?
Yeah.
This is your career.
Mm.
Your career is controlling your mind.
Mm.
You're doing battle with what everybody else tries to hide from.
Mm.
It's your profession, it's your occupation. You get better and better at it the more you stick to it. This is the whole advantage of this situation. You're actually working on the things you should work on to go back to Godhead. So it's very good you're trying. If you try by the right methods, you'll be successful. Don't be afraid to struggle. It's very glorious.
It's quite austere anyway, Maharaj, but sometimes if I'm on the street and there's like you haven't had sufficient rest and the mind's like a little bit harder to control, and it makes it even more austere sort of thing.
Why don't you get sufficient rest here?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just saying, so you need to be sharp.
Yes, well, why do you don't have opportunity to have sufficient rest here?
How are you doing?
Okay. Well, you don't get sufficient rest?
29.
All right. Sure.
Guru Maharaj, in the name of being balanced, basically there's the comment by Srila Prabhupada about practical things at the same time, about dealing with the people and distributing the books, and his comment by saying, what will your 3 minutes of preaching do? Just give them the book and let me do the preaching.
Mm.
And then there's that, with sort of like in the view of wanting to distribute as many books as in that amount of time as possible to as many people, but simultaneously being balanced when people ask questions and wanting a little bit more time. So what's
now you have to take that point Prabhupada said, you have to put in a bit of time and circumstance. You know, it's not like it's an eternal direction. You know, it's just a practical point he made at the time. Mm. Krishna conscious movement has been around now for 30 years since then, and people want to know more about us. At the same time, I don't see the need why devotees have to spend, you know, half hour with someone, you know. So, I think it has to be a medium. We do want to get to know the people. At the same time, we want to be practical physicians, practical doctors. We don't want to spend time just talking and talking and talking because there's so many other people there. So I have heard that you do have some of you may spend a long, long time talking to persons. It's not necessary. If you want to talk to them and get their email address or get their phone number, and contact them later.
Just a little bit more on the psychology there. Is it that, like you mentioned earlier, that have the austerities of Sankirtan with getting so many rejections, and one, is it like we're kind of like taking shelter of that bubble, so to speak, talking to someone and I'm having to deal with all the rejections that are going on all day, and just talking to that person in the name of preaching? Is that a little bit more into the psychology?
You've been rejected all day and you just want to...
Well, in that bubble, you're not being rejected, that's why.
I can understand that, but at the same time, just because someone's rejected you, just because you've been rejected all day, doesn't mean it's going to go on like that automatically the rest of the day. It can change any moment. Everyone's had that experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
You thought, oh, this day is going to be horrible. Then Krishna shows you it's going to change on the spot. So you've got to keep moving. There's a way to build, to start relationships and keep moving. It can be done. I still notice you all have to work on this proper etiquette, that giving ladies room, which I noticed last night, it still wasn't happening. Just like Simon was by the door of the pujari room, so when Maji came out, he kind of just moved his arm and shoulder. Remember that? Just take a step, move over. You know, just take a quick step forward. You don't have to freak out like, oh. Just move. That's a big deal. Just gracefully move out of the way. No, but I noticed Yadav Roy. You probably don't remember me. Out the door or to close the door or something. And you came with him just going to a modesty. I noticed you were just, your mind was just you've been voted out last night or something, but you know, you came with that close. But I know the churl is normal now, you know, but it's totally uncivilized. It's very disrespectful. Part of being Krishna conscious is to be aware of what's around you. So, you just, you know, don't, you know, brush by Matajis. You give them space, very respectful, gentlemanly. A devotee is a gentleman. So, I know it's conditioning, but we have to work on it. And I know what it's like. In the midst of your world, that was, it's just all like a big marsh, you know. Well, you wanna change that. Did you catch yourself? What, you remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could have just stepped over, right?
Yeah, that's
my point. That's exactly my point. Yeah. Just, you know, all you had to do was just, I like it up. Left no space. That was about, yeah, 15 centimeters. Raise your standard from 2 centimeters to 15 centimeters. That's my point, you know. Just give them a wide berth. Not in an extreme way. But just gracefully give them a wide berth. It's respect. If you've been to India, you'll see that, right? That's how they do it. It's just culture. Do you remember going to the door when I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, I could see your mind was elsewhere at that point. You had something on your mind yesterday. Maybe somebody got in your face or something. But yeah, I just want, you know, yeah, that much distance. You know. Remember that?
I think like the second time I opened the door, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess, you know, normally you wouldn't think anything of it, right?
Mm.
I guess in the material, even if you actually brush them, it's no big deal, is this right?
Yes. Right? Yes. I see it's all under melting point, right?
Huh?
It's all about one melting pot, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, you don't want that going on. You want to be gentlemanly.
Mm. Also here, you know, sometimes it happens here. So sometimes, you know, with the devotees will be like a, it's like a rugby game or something like that, a barge system, where they can drop the shoulder first and close the person out of the way quicker, so then he gets a right of way.
Where? In the hallways?
Yeah, in the hallways and stuff like that, so.
Devotees are very... Devotees are gentlemen. Just wait for the other person to pass. The ruffian behavior is, you know, got no place in Krishna consciousness. This is not a scrum. Is that what you're talking about? Like the scrum when they all make this thing they get down. It's not a scrum. You know what a scrum is?
Yeah. Maybe seeing one rugby
game. The analogy is it's an observable act of sort of courtesy to sometimes, I think. Maybe we just try and make them just flow naturally without making a conscious effort or
make a conscious effort.
An observable thing by others that there is an act of courtesy. Sort of.
Make a conscious effort for yourself and for others. Make a conscious effort. Treat the ladies at a distance as much as possible.